A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Now Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord, our God, is to us, whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The word of the Lord.
The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Whoever walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue, the one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord. The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Who lends not his money at usury and accepts no bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be disturbed. The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
The letter of St. James. Dear brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned Jesus. "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to your human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Let's take a look at our scriptures assigned for today. Our first reading, Moses is urging the people to remain faithful to God, to remain faithful to the law that he has given. Moses goes on to say, "And do not add to it and do not take anything from it, because it is perfect as it is. It is will cause you to be holy if you follow it." And he'll go on to tell us that the law of the Lord is not a burden to be endured by us, but it is actually a source of life and wisdom. Now, he says in that first reading, "I want you to do this, and I want you also to do it for yourselves, but I want others to see, because if they see what you are doing, they will come to understand that the Lord God is holy and he has great love for his people. And it will draw them to, not just to the Jewish people, but to God." We will hear for the next couple weeks from St. James. What we're hearing from, most scholars believe, is a homily from St. James, or a couple homilies by St. James put forth. And he tells us, it is not enough that you just hear the word of God. You must hear the word of God. But then it must come into your heart and bear fruit, and you must put it into practice every day. In doing so, St. James essentially links faith with ultimately love. He'll say those actions speak about love, and they become very tangible to others. Hence, our gospel. When one first just generally reads it or takes a glance at it, it appears that this incident that's happening in the gospel today is kind of frivolous and a silly argument that they're picking with Jesus about washing hands and, as we heard, washing pots and washing cups and washing the bed. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they have appointed themselves as experts. This is important. They appointed themselves experts on the law. And they challenged Jesus because some of his disciples are not washing their hands before they eat. They say these disciples do not observe the prescribed ritual washing, and thus they do not follow the tradition of the elders. They don't follow the tradition of the elders. Your pastor, then, my question is, what is the tradition of the elders? The question is answered by Jesus. The main tradition of the elders is to be followed, follow the very law of God that we heard about in the first reading. That is the tradition of the elders. The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, the Pentateuch, also known as the Torah, classically understood, are the first five books of the Bible. These books contain moral principles and regulations. Hence, the interpretation of these principles and regulations, they're not insignificant. They have importance. They're of great concern to the Jewish people. Problem is, it gave rise to what we know as the scribes, because now the scribes who have appointed themselves to be the experts of the laws, and now they're going to interpret these things. And this is where the problem arises. And because of that, you're a sinner. What's the truth? You don't wash your hands and you're going to be germy, right? That's the truth. You wash your hands when mom and dad tell you to. I'm not saying don't do this. But you see, they're saying If this plant is forbidden, I touch it, and I am now a sinner. See what they're saying? You didn't wash your hands. The dirty hands makes you a sinner. No, it makes you have germs on your hands. I know I have my sense of humor, but this is what they're saying. So the scribes put together something called the Talmud. Is that name, is that word familiar to you? Talmud? Has anyone ever heard that word before? All right, some of you have heard this. We're going to get at this. They put this thing called the Talmud together, and this is where men's rules got in the way of God's ways. Here's the problem. The Talmud essentially broke down into thousands of little rules and regulations governing the way the Jewish people were to act and what they did, and it originally stemmed from oral tradition. It was passed down by word of mouth. It hadn't quite been written, but now the scribes started to write it, and now they have this book called the Talmud. Jesus is alluding to this. This is what he's talking about. He's alluding to the distinction between the Torah and the Talmud. The first one is divinely inspired. Who did it? God gave it to Moses. The second one, the Talmud, the lawyers did it. Jesus quotes, and I'm going to talk about this. Now, I know I'm making light, but the Talmud in itself is not bad. It talked about the traditions. It talked about adaptations. Remember, the commandments given, the Decalogue, Moses would continue speaking to God and would continue. So they're not finished. But they were given to the people in the desert. They didn't stay in the desert. Well, they were there for 40 years. But eventually they became farmers. Eventually they lived in the city. So they had to keep adapting. Adapting. We got to adapt everything. We got to adapt. We got to change. We understand this. And the other thing that they did was they helped the Jewish people to self-identify with who they were by their actions, by their traditions. That's not bad. It's not a bad thing. But Jesus has a quote. And whenever Jesus quotes the scripture, you need to go and read and see what it is that he is saying. Why did he choose this particular scripture in this situation? So we open up our Bible, and it's Isaiah 29, in particular 13. The Lord God said, "Since this people draws near with words only, and honors me with their lips alone, though their hearts are far from me, and fear of me has become." Remember, what does fear in the scripture mean? Does fear mean? No. Fear means to know. "And to know or have knowledge of me has become mere precept of human teaching. Therefore, I will again deal with this people in surprising and wondrous fashion." Now, just that little piece isn't telling you exactly what's happening, so I want to tell you what's happening. Isaiah goes to the leaders and says, "God has a plan for you, and you need to follow it." The people are like, "We love God. We'll do anything." It's about warring nations. Now, I've been joking. I said, can you imagine if Father Mark took his Bible and marched on Washington, D.C. and said, "Excuse me, Father Mark has an oracle. You are to follow God's plan." They would either arrest me or stick me for at least 72 hours in the mental health facility. God had a plan. They said, "Oh, yeah, we love you, God." And then they secretly began to make another plan. God's plan wasn't good enough. So they decided, now do you understand why Jesus is quoting this particular scripture? It gets even better. It goes on in the scripture, they say to the seer, "Don't see." To the prophet, "Don't prophesy truth for us. Don't do this. We're going to turn away from you." Oh, and it gets better. "Rebellious children of the Lord, you carry out a plan that is not mine, who make an alliance I did not inspire, thus adding sin upon your sin. You do what you want, despite what I told you." It goes on. "You will go down to Egypt and you will ride your horses and put your trust." Now you understand, you've got to look at what Jesus is saying. Go and look and see what he says. It'll help you to understand why he's quoting this in this particular place. So my friends, what we see is God's laws are rightly focused on inner dispositions. The human precepts are focused on external exterior, how it looks. My friends, I know I joke a lot. You can wash your hands all you want, but that's not going to make you holy. Because even people who say and do wicked things take showers and baths every day, right? My friends, that will not make you pure of heart. The cleaning of cups and dishes and your hands can all be done without any interior disposition of change, no conversion of the heart, no transformation. You see, the Pharisees saw evil as something that was outside of themselves. They said it was things and people. Remember, you couldn't touch a particular woman when she was in a particular time of the month. If you did that, you were dirty and a sinner. Remember? You see what the problem is? Jesus, that's why Jesus goes on, in your heart. Because they said, oh, Father Mark touched this plant, that plant's an awful plant, now he's a sinner, he's dirty. To do these things requires no conversion of heart. It can be done with any sign of or act of love. And has no real intrinsic connection to faith. Here is now the crux of what Jesus is getting at with them. I want to be very clear with you. Jesus does not criticize the traditions themselves because he himself kept them. Go to the scriptures. It was the tradition of, and Jesus went on that. So what is the problem? The problem is the Lord is criticizing traditions that they themselves have cut off from the faith which giveth power and grace. That's what Jesus is criticizing. These traditions do not automatically make a person holy, because our Lord went on to tell us holiness and sin are found inside the person, in the heart. That's what needs to be cleaned. The teaching of our Lord is trying to instill, if you will, that our traditions need to express and renew and deepen your faith, or in the words, your religion. My friends, traditions, they are to express but not replace faith. And this is what's happening. This is the argument that they're putting forth to Jesus. The tradition should remind us and express who we are and what we are called to be, specifically regarding religious traditions. They must never be cut off or separated from faith, especially the faith that actually gives them meaning. My friends, the truth of the matter is we are surrounded by traditions. Anyone who says, or any other Christian denomination that says that they don't adhere to traditions, are fooling themselves. I want you to think about this. We are surrounded by traditions. Human beings are made up of flesh and bone. The doctor isn't here. The doctors were at the other masses. They confer with me. I'm talking about genes now. Genes, the human biology, tells us what we are. If I were to bring a picture of my father and show it to you, you'd be like, oh, he looks like his pappy. Because I do. I'm a spitting image of him. Those genes certainly will tell you that I'm the son of that man. But they tell you that I'm a human person. Everything else about us, family, communication, community, and meaning is being transmitted through traditions, all of them. And there are no new ones. We're not so clever as to make up new ones. They're old ones. And the same thing with, if people think my homily is something new, it's not. It's already been said. I'm just simply repeating. I'm not so clever. But I want to get back. I'm digressing there. But traditions communicate who we are. Biology tells us what we are. Traditions tell us who we are. This is why I said the Talmud helped the Jewish people to keep their identity. They were people of God, and they were supposed to be. So see that what the traditions were doing. My friends, our Catholic Christian traditions must weave faith into our lives every single day. They must never be held or done in a way that do not aid or strengthen our faith. From the minute I came to you, I began to teach you about everything we were doing. Not because I thought you were ignorant, but I wanted to make sure we understood, why do we kneel? Why do we stand? Why do we bow? Why do we do this? We learned about all of our traditions, and they're beautiful. But they are to help you in your faith. We have many traditions in the Catholic Church, and if applied correctly, they certainly become badges of Catholic identity, which I fully support, because in a world that's becoming more mean and secular, that's great, right? But again, they are to express who we are and what we are called to be. They are to weave into our faith. The traditions, the rituals, the movements are to strengthen our faith, yes, and to give glory to God. The customs and traditions are to be ways of sustaining our commitment to Christ. And it is this way that we give God glory. We no longer give him just lip service. My friends, we should respect and embrace the traditions of our faith. They are how we stay close to our roots, how we stay close to each other, how we stay close to the church, and ultimately how we stay close to Jesus Christ. And they become concrete, tangible shapings of our commitment to Christ. Our traditions should communicate who we are. And my friends, you know, for instance, the sign of the cross, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that is a Catholic thing. When you do that, people know, Catholic. Now, some of the other Christian denominations are doing it. That's great. But what does it mean? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God, the sign of the cross. The cross is salvation. You're not chasing away flies. It's a tradition, an outward sign that's supposed to tell you about something. Now, what about the font, the holy water? That's a real Catholic thing. Doink, 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 doink. Huh? Huh? You're not washing your fingertips before you come in. That's not what that's about. That's not about washing your hands. That little font, and you bless yourself with water, it reminds you about what happened at this baptismal font. It is supposed to remind you of the baptismal promises that have been guaranteed to you by Jesus Christ, but also your pledge to be his disciple and to act in a holy way. That's what these traditions and signs are supposed to do. And when they stop doing that, then you can hear the words of Jesus. Oh, your hearts are far from me, holding on to your human things. Brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 5, 8, Jesus says in his homily, his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. From the words of St. James, welcome the word of God with its power to save you. Act on this word always. If all you do is listen to it, not applying it, you are deceiving yourselves that you are pleasing to God. Everything we do and everything we say, the outward is to reflect our inner. We got to get that going and keep that holy. Amen.